Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 2 Corinthians. This time we'll be in chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your people. And then, Lord, once again being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We do pray for the filling and guidance of your Holy Spirit to guide us into your truths, that we might hear from you and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, and understand more about the grace and the salvation that you've given to us, Lord, that we might experience you in a better way, in a greater way, and that we might truly be your witnesses of what you've given to us in salvation. Bless your word tonight to us. Bless us as your people. Build your church, Lord, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is simply Triumph in Christ. Triumph in Christ. And so God wants us to triumph. And basically, you know, the relationship between the believer and the Lord is simply our faith in God or our trust, right? We want to interchange those words because that's what faith is really all about. It's not this invisible thing. It's our trust in the Lord. And the more we experience the Lord and his faithfulness, won't we trust him more? I mean, if you've got a friend and you can always count on them, you don't worry about them, right? As an employer, if they can count on, you know, this employee to always be there, that's one thing less they have to worry about, isn't it? And they can focus on other things. And by the way, employers like that, and they take note of those that they can count on. But even more importantly, God takes note of those who put their faith or trust in him and believe him, and he is honored. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or right towards the Lord. Isn't that something? The eyes of the Lord are always constantly going around looking for those that are looking to prove the Lord that he might show himself faithful. Now, the flesh, the devil, and the world want to break that trust in the Lord, right? If you'll remember back in the garden, Adam and Eve, that was all an issue of trust. Satan came and said, "Yea, hath God said," questioning the Lord, right? And what did he say? God's just wanting to hold out on you because if you took of that fruit, you would know good and evil. You'd be just like God. Amen. Now, what a crazy lie. And yet, listen, in being naive and buying the lie of the devil, we'll do some really dumb things. Amen. And so the whole human race fell because of what Adam and Eve had done. And God has seen fit to restore our relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by putting our faith and trust in what he has said. But wait a minute. It goes beyond just salvation. It goes into our everyday lives. God wants us to know how he's leading us. Amen. God wants us to know his will and his way in our everyday lives, that we are walking with him, that he might bless us with his peace and his joy that passes understanding. The world doesn't have this joy and this peace. It is a gift from God to his people that have put their faith and trust in the Lord. And when we have the joy of the Lord, and when we have the real peace of God, even when our world is flipped upside down, the world will see that and they will say, "Hey, they have something I want." Amen? They have some. That's what really being a witness. That goes beyond a verbal witness. Listen, how effective is a parent that says this, ready? "Don't do as I do as I say." What is that? That's a cop-out. That's an excuse saying, "I'm not doing it, but you do it." And what does the natural man say? Forget that. Forget that. And by the way, listen, the world doesn't want to hear us just say, "Trust Jesus." They want to see Jesus. They don't know that. But God's intent is that the world might see Christ in us. And he, listen, didn't the Lord say, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. If we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives by putting our trust in him every day, the Lord will be lifted up in our lives, and you and I will be the recipients of the blessings of God. God will fill our cup in our life. And how high does he want to fill it? He doesn't just want to fill it to the top. He definitely doesn't want it halfway full. But he wants it to overflow, because the blessings that God gives us to fill our cup are for us. The overflowing part is for the world to see and to say, hey, listen, I want what God gave you. Amen? Amen. Should not the world want what God has given to us? The problem a lot of times is the world's not seeing because we're not receiving. Amen? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about beyond. God is talking about beyond salvation. And listen, we can't fool God. Amen? We can't. If we're not living by faith, if we're not putting our trust in the Lord, we will not fool the Lord, and we certainly won't fool the world. And so the world, God wants, first of all, God wants his life to be preeminent in ours. And that's what makes the difference. And he wants, again, fill us with his joy. And by the way, why wouldn't the believer want the joy of the Lord? Amen? Don't you want to know every day, every minute of every day, that you're in the hand of God? Amen. And that your feet won't slip because God holds us. And that God is faithful to us. And that God will fulfill, as we look to him, he will fulfill his purpose. And his purpose is that we walk upright before him for his honor and glory, for our blessing, and to be the witness that the world desperately needs. So tonight we want to consider three thoughts that the apostle mentions that are involved in triumphing in Christ. God wants us to be triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ, does he not? So he does not. How many days does he want for you and I to have that are failures? None. He wants zero, right? How many days does he want us to triumph in Christ? Every day, right? Every day. So do a little bit of inventory and say, how many days do I, just between you and the Lord, how many days do I triumph in Christ? Because that's God's will. God wants us to triumph in him. And tonight he's going to share with us how to be triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first prerequisite, and you know what it is, this is the hard one, ready? We have to deny ourselves. We can't. There's no way that we can do it and self be on the throne. Self has to be denied so that Christ can sit on the throne of our life and we trust him and not ourselves, right? And this is a good thing. This is a good thing. God wants to put the smile on our face and the skip in our step. Amen? He wants us. Listen, that's what God wants to do. So it's all a positive thing. It's all a grand thing. It's all the plan and will of God for every child of his. Listen, does God love every one of his born-again believers? Will he ever let them go? Does he have a crown laid up for them in heaven if they'll just seek him? It's the only way. Listen, if we'll just seek the Lord, everybody can be the recipient. By the way, Paul, if you remember, he said, boy, listen, I have fought my fight. I have run my race. And I know that, he said, henceforth, and I'm paraphrasing, there's a crown laid up for me. But not for me only, but for all those who love the Lord. And so we can have that. And by the way, listen, as we trust the word of God, he will fulfill his promises in our lives and we will have his joy. And we will have the excitement of wanting more. You know what a heavenly father we have? He gave us a taste of his grace at salvation. That was a big thing, but that was just supposed to whet our appetites for all the other blessings that he has for us. And if we'll just trust him and seek him, we will enjoy all the things that he has for us. So three thoughts, right? Number one, in the work of triumphing in Christ, there are setbacks, appearingly so, setbacks. There are upsets and there are setups. Amen? Amen? So we'll put that all together here. There are setbacks, there are upsets, and there are setups. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. Look with me, if you will, in verse 1. And these are setbacks. Paul's determined concern, he said, I would not come again unto you in heaviness. We looked a little bit at that this morning. But he says, I don't want to come to you in heaviness. So this is a setback, right? It could be misunderstood. Paul was intending a good thing to come out of this, and he was concerned that somebody might hear this and say, oh, he's just beating me up. Amen? He's just dumping a whole load on me. You ever heard that? Sometimes people say that to preacher, don't dump the whole load on me. I don't want the whole load. Well, listen, there's no load. Jesus Christ said, I'll carry it. Amen? There is no load. It's all the blessing of God. It's all more wisdom and understanding to walk in the grace and experience the love of God more vibrantly in each and every one of our lives. So notice verse 1. He says, but I determined this with myself, Paul's talking here, that I would not come again to you in heaviness, for if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? Did you see that? He says, my whole intent, I want you to know, my whole intent, this is Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is saying, the Spirit of God is saying, through Paul, I'm not coming here to knock you down. I'm not coming here to put a weight on your back. I'm wanting you to triumph in Christ. I'm wanting Christ to be magnified and glorified in the life of every believer. How so? So much so that God put it in the canon of Scripture for you and I to read and understand and digest and walk in, that God might fulfill his will in our lives. So he says, listen, I'm not here to make you sorry. So these are setbacks, right? But Paul was concerned that the believers would be upset, that they would take it wrong. And Paul was clarifying, saying, listen, I do want to share some things with you to better put you on track with the Lord Jesus Christ and his will and power, grace, love, mercy, and joy in your life and mine. So as we consider this, he says, I don't want to come to you in heaviness again. Verse 3, and I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. Did you get that? Paul is saying, I've not come. Listen, you're my joy. But listen, not just because they're saved, but because they have the joy of Paul. And what's Paul's joy? Jesus Christ. Amen. See? And Jesus Christ working in his life and providing in his life that peace and joy when our world is flipped upside down. When the world doesn't make sense, we're still confident where? In God. Amen? We have our confidence, we have our stability, we have our foundation, our stronghold is in the Lord. And so Paul was saying, listen, this is the only way. Remember earlier this morning, Paul even despaired of life. People just glaze right over that. Oh, the apostle Paul, he was untouchable. My goodness, he didn't experience anything bad. It was all perfect for Paul because God, no. He went through things to where he even said he despaired even of life. You know why Paul was saying that? Because he didn't want anybody to think of himself any more than what he was. And what was he? He was a child of the King. That's right. And what are we tonight? We are a child of the King. And God wants us to walk in all of the promises that he's given to us. Now, here's the question. Here's what it all boils down. Do we trust the Lord, ourselves, the world, the flesh, the devil? Which one do we trust? The Lord, amen, and what he has said. So we want to, so how do you do that? Well, you just say, listen, anything outside of the word of God is a lie. Is it not? If the world is saying something contrary to the word of God, it's a lie. So the moment Satan tried to fool Adam and Eve, and I'm not faulting, if we would have been there, we'd have fallen as well, all right? But here it is. Here it is. Now we know better. We've been given the gospel, amen. We've been given the truth. We've been given insight that they didn't have. And so now we have seen the lessons and we can learn from them and trust the Lord as opposed to trusting ourselves, the world, the flesh, or the devil. Listen, you know, the devil has lost us from his kingdom. There's no way. We are in the hands of God, never to be removed again. Didn't Jesus say, and no man takes you out? No man can take us out of his hands. But here's the thing, the devil can trip us up and get us looking. The first place he'll try to get us to look to is ourselves, me, mine, and always me. And then he'll try to get us to look to the world and to distract us and do anything and everything he can to keep our eyes off of who? Off of God. Off of the Lord. God, listen, the devil, the world, the flesh are trying to do things to keep us preoccupied, get us caught up in things so that we don't make time for God. You know why? Why do you think it's hard on the flesh to pray and to read the Bible? Why? Because, listen, it's a spiritual thing. And we need to have faith or trust. God is going, it is, listen, it is worth it. It is worth it to invest in the Lord. Amen? We're investing in God, and we'll get a return on this side of eternity and in the world to come. And why do, listen, people work to support their families, and they make all different kinds of investments that they don't get an immediate return, but they're planning for the future, aren't they? We do well to trust the Lord and invest our time and effort in Him, and we will get a return even on this side, not just when we retire from this world and in heaven, but on this side of eternity that will bring joy and happiness in our lives, joy and happiness in our family's life, joy and happiness in the church of God's life, and joy and happiness in the world, because they'll see the light of God in us and they'll say, I want what you have. I want that peace and that love that I don't understand. Amen? And by the way, we can differentiate the peace of the world. We get the peace of the world and the joy of the world when good things happen like that. But we also get a peace and a joy that the world doesn't know anything about. Do we not? Amen. Here's the joy that we get. Ready? This world, this is not the end. Amen. When we leave this life. The world doesn't know that. We've got a hope and a joy that we know that when we get to heaven, God gives us a body that will never die, never grow old, never get sick. Amen. And man, we don't even understand what else we're going to. There are things the Bible says that the Lord says haven't even entered into our minds that He has in store for us. I don't know what those things are, but man, they're going to be something to be amazed at, aren't they? When we will be praising the Lord for. All right. Verse 4. Listen to this, for out of much affliction, that's a lot, right? That's a lot of difficulties. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Who in the world ever said that the Christian life has no tears, no anguish? They didn't read the Bible, amen? And much affliction, right? And anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know, listen, that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Did you see that? Listen, this is a setback with a promise, isn't it? He's saying, I want you to know that I have an abundant love that you might understand what I know in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might experience it and walk in it in your life, that God might bless you as He has blessed me. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying, because if you have the blessing of the Lord like I have it, people are going to be affected positively by it. Beginning with who? You know who God wants to bless first of all? Amen. He wants to bless us. He wants His children happy. That's what it means to be blessed. Happy, happy. Amen? That's what God wants us to be. And not this fake smile. You know, not that. I'm a Christian. I'm just going to smile. No, listen. Listen, you ever watch a little kid when they're happy? Man, doesn't it bring joy to you when you see a little kid happy? I mean, listen, I can watch kids that I don't even know and watch them do something, and they're laughing and giggling. I start laughing and start giggling with them. Amen? That's contagious. That's a good contagious thing, isn't it? God wants to do that in our lives, and it will be contagious in the lives of other people, beginning with our own family, our church family, and the world. So those are the setbacks. Paul was in anguish, but there's a positive thing in there, because God wants us to have that joy more abundantly towards us. Now there are upsets, right? Paul knew that there's a danger of too much sorrow, and that it might not, he says, that I might not overcharge you all. So he was concerned that they might not be overcharged, right? So he says, these are upsets, right? We don't want to overcharge you. And by the way, we don't want to overcharge anybody else. Listen, our relationship with the Lord is it, what's it about? Bottom line, what is our relationship with the Lord all about? The love of God. Is it not? His love to us, our love to Him, and to His people. Amen? God's love to us, our love to Him, and to His people. Why would that be so important? Because every believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. When you love God's people, guess who else you're loving? The Lord. the Lord. Which mom would say, now you know, I've got 10 kids here, five boys and five girls, and which mom would say, now I want you all to just fight along each other, just fight every day. I just want you guys to hate each other and not like each other and not talk to each other. Why, no way, no mother would say that in her right mind. What do we want? Oh, listen, more than anything else, that you would love one another. Why? Why would a mom say that? Because they are bone of her bone, blood of her blood, flesh of her flesh, and blood of her, you know, her blood. And by the way, every child of God is whose? God's, the Lord's. And so he wants us to love one another. Now keep that thought in mind as we look here. Look at verse 5. But if any of you have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So you know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, listen, you need to have this unity and this understanding of love. Listen, the love of God is not just about forgiving sinners, but it's even more about forgiving brothers and sisters in Christ. It's about walking upright in the love of God, or we're just putting on. What would it be, really? Would it bring joy to a mother and father if the siblings didn't say anything, but they weren't talking? Do you think mom and dad would know about it? Do you think you could go through one Thanksgiving meal and mom and dad not know something's wrong? Something's wrong. Would mom and dad like that? Would mom and dad want that to continue? How much more? God knows it. Amen. We're not going to fool him. And so God wants us to genuinely love one another. Right? I mean, listen, I've been saved by the blood and the grace of God just as you have been. Why? Listen, and why? If things are made right, let's not keep people at a distance, because who knows what reason? Is there a good reason when God says we ought to love one another? We shouldn't walk in disharmony. We want to walk congruently together in one accord for the glory of God. And so notice he says, don't do verse 7. He says, so that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. Why? Lest perhaps such an one, this individual, be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You know, whatever the cause, whatever the thing might be, it was obviously something that could be restored. Amen? It wasn't a sin unto death. It wasn't a sin that was... So there are sins, for example, that the Bible talks about. If they're openly walking in rebellion towards God and show no sorrow, no desire to want to do the right thing, that's one thing. But he's talking about things that brothers and sisters do. Amen? And maybe there's an offense taken, but hey, forgive and love. And you know, God has, you know, who's the greatest debtor to God? We are, amen. And if God has forgiven us, we want to walk in that kind of forgiveness, not holding grudges. Listen, you hear people say this all the time. I used to serve the Lord, but, and then they'll tell you about something that happened to them, right? You know what I can't get past? Whoever offended me didn't die for me. Jesus did. I'm not turning my back on him. Jesus died for me. So that's one thing. But listen, it's not good for there to be a disunity, disharmony in the body of Christ. And so God is saying, make sure that there is a genuine restitution, restoration. Don't walk in this idea that, you know, underneath in my heart, I don't want to forgive them. We can do that. I don't want to forgive them. And Paul is saying, you know, that's a burden. And the individual could be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. That's not what we're about. Are we about the joy of the Lord? Amen. Is God about the joy of the Lord in us? Absolutely. And so we want that joy to be in other people's lives. So, I used to tell teenagers this when I was teaching school. and in youth groups, I would tell them, listen, if there's a problem, and you can tell when kids aren't getting along in a class, how do you forgive somebody? How do you forgive somebody? Well, you have to genuinely realize that we're no better than anybody else. God's been merciful to us. And you can just say, I forgive you, but it's different when you show them you forgive them, right? Don't you like that kind of forgiveness? And people treat you like before or even better than before, and they're kind to you, right? And man, I like that kind of restoration. That's a good thing. And people do things that are nice. And then, wow, you know what? I like this relationship. Amen? I want to build this relationship. And you know, aren't you glad God takes us back every time?
That's right.
Every time? And remember, every believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So when you take them back, guess who else you're taking back?
Amen.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Listen, I love to take Jesus back every time. Amen? I love to have Jesus in my heart and everything going right. And I know you do as well. And so that's a good thing. That puts us on a place to triumph in Christ. Look at verse 8. Wherefore, I beseech you, he's pleading with them, that you would confirm your love toward him. Did you see that? Confirm. And you know what? I am blessed to be part of Northwood Baptist Church. I really believe we have a loving church. I really believe we have a forgiving church. Don't you? And that's a good thing. And that's really a good thing. And we want that to grow. Amen. In our lives, so that we might give it to other people. And God's been blessing us. We thank the Lord for Chad visiting with us this morning. I think he works the evening shift is where he's at tonight. But he was here this morning, and we thank the Lord for that. There was another couple that was here the Sunday before. So God's doing some wonderful things. We enjoy Miss Rebecca here with us this evening. And we want to be filled with the love and joy of the Lord. And we want everybody who comes into the house of God to experience that same great love. You know why? Listen. God knows we need his love.
Amen.
Don't we? Listen, the world is a mess.
Yes.
The world is a mess. It doesn't matter. Listen, hope is in God's house.
Amen.
Right? In a relationship with the Lord. That's where we really have hope is in the Lord. So notice this, verse 9. For to this end, what end was that? He says, verse 8, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. How do we confirm those things? Well, we do things to show people that we love them, right? And that's a blessing. For to this end also did I write that I might know the proof, right? Proof, show me, right? That we do live in the show me state. So we can put a spiritual lean on that. Anyway, for to this end also did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Did you see that? So we need to be obedient in all things. Lord, let me love like you love. To whom ye forgive anything, that's what we're talking about, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Isn't that something? In the person of Christ, we want to do these things. Why? Lest Satan should get an advantage of who? We don't want Satan to get advantage of us. Because once he can guide us. He can guide us and misguide us, and we can see and hear things that aren't there. Do you believe that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? I'm ashamed to say I've done that and had it totally wrong. Right? Had it totally wrong, and so my wife says something like, "Can I get you to tell me that again?" How do you say it? Did you all hear that? I'd rather think the best of people and be wrong than to think the worst of people and be right. Amen. Amen. That sounded good. That's a little bit of a tongue twister for me. All right. Verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. Verse 10. For if ye forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant, listen, of his devices. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the one that is looking like a lion to devour us. Listen, he would love nothing more than to destroy our relationship with the Lord and with his people. He would love to do that. If he could destroy the church, he has destroyed the witness of Christ in the world. right? If he can sow discord, he's happy. We don't want to be part of that. We want to be aware of what his devices are. Notice verse 12. Furthermore, he says, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and the door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. So Paul's talking about his journey here. He's talking about what he's wanting to take place in the life of believers, this idea of forgiving. And there are upsets, right? There are going to be upsets. If we live long in this life, will people do things? Boy, but you know what? Let's walk in the Spirit of Christ, and you know what? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. May we walk in one accord in the love of God. Amen? Above all things, that is the preeminent thing. Last thought, setups. I like the setups. So we had setbacks, upsets, and now we have setups here. And Paul wanted the believers at Corinth to know how to make manifest the Savior in every place. Listen to this. God wants us to make manifest through our lives our Lord and Jesus Christ, the Savior, in every place. That means, listen, that means everywhere we go. Does that mean at the gas station? Does that mean at the grocery store? Yeah. Does that mean when we're in the doctor's office? Yeah. In every place, God wants us to manifest him. So let's consider these last few verses here, 14 through 17. Notice what it says. Now thanks be unto God. Remember, he was just telling them all these things here, and he didn't want to overcharge anybody. Now thanks be unto God, which always, how many times is that?
Always,
amen, every time, always, causes us to triumph in Christ. Listen to this, making manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. By us in every place. God, listen, so how does that work? It's the love of God. Listen, God does not want us to manufacture it. He wants to do it in our lives. So, Lord, I trust you. I need you. Lord, I believe you, and I want to walk in you today and every day in my life. And so I want to be mindful of that. So if something goes wrong, is God not aware of those things?
Yes.
He is. What is the purpose of those things? Is it not for our good?
Yes.
To humble us. So listen, if we get mad, we're not humble because we're just a servant. We're just a servant. We're the followers, right? God's leading in our lives. So when things don't go right, how about this one? When things don't go our way, right? When things don't go my way the way I think they should go, should I get upset or should I say, Lord, you are bringing this into my life. I am the servant. I'm not going to demand my rights. You ever hear, I got my rights. Right, I got my, not before the Lord. We've been bought with a price, right? So how should we take those things? And by the way, listen, if things happen in my life that I don't like, and I don't react outwardly, but inwardly I'm upset, is that the Spirit of Christ?
No.
It's not, is it? I've lost the joy. Instead of realizing, how many things are we to give thanks unto the Lord? Isn't that amazing? Even when the things that happen to us that we don't like. And so why are you doing that, Lord, that I might humbly? I am the servant, Lord. And the Lord does that to remind us. We are, of all the people that were faithful to the Lord, the Apostle Paul was faithful. Did he have trials, tribulations, sorrow, hardship? And through those all, do you know what he said? You are God. I am your servant. I give you an open check, carte blanche, to do as you will in my life. Does God do as he wills?
Amen.
He does. And listen to this. Does everything that happens, God allows? Does God allow everything that happens? Let me try to rephrase that. Does God allow everything that happens, good or bad? I don't understand it. But he does work it out for our good. And so, Lord, I'm going to yield you the right of way in that. And do you know when we begin to grab a handle on that, that's where we really see whether we're trusting God or not. Doesn't that require more faith? Trust? When things happen in my life that I don't think are right and I give God the right away, I'm trusting the Lord. If I don't give God the right away, I'm not trusting the Lord. Who am I trusting in?
Myself.
You see, that's an everyday event God wants us to walk in, and that will draw us closer to Him. Do you think God's honored when He sees His child, you and I, when He sees us? I trust you, God. I don't understand this at all. This makes no sense. I am your servant. You are my God. And I trust that you're going to work this out for my good. You want me to humbly. Because listen, we can't come to God with all of our plans and God work His will if we got our hands full with everything that we want and think we should be doing. But Lord, I trust you in the middle of it all. That is where we walk into an amazing phase in our walk with the Lord by faith. That's where Paul was at. And that's where Paul is trying to bring you and I into. I want you to know something. Listen. I am listening to the same thing God has given me to preach to you. I am not a master at this. I am not a master at this. We are learning together. Amen? We are learning to understand God and to walk with Him. And by the way, listen, I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. I wish it could work that way where I could just sit back and let you take control and show me how it doesn't work that way. I've got to trust God for me, and you've got to trust the Lord for you. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to trust that. And so, Lord, teach me to walk with you. Boy, that's a wonderful prayer. Every day we should say, Lord, teach me to walk and to trust you in everything that happens in my life, to trust you, that you hold me in your hand, that you're in control. When we get upset, are we trusting the Lord? That's easy enough, isn't it? When we get upset, who are we trusting if we're not trusting the Lord? Yeah, and that's what Satan said. You be God. You can be as God. Right? You see how that works? Listen, God is giving us this understanding to walk in this. Lord, I want you to know, this is my prayer. Teach me how to do that. I can preach that all day long, but to walk in that is a whole other ball game. Listen, I'm wanting to receive what we're hearing tonight. I want to walk that way, and I know you do as well, but we have to make a conscientious effort to have that happen in our lives. Because that is unnatural, isn't it? Don't you ever hear people brag on, well, I gave them what for? How do you do, right? Look what I've done, and I didn't stand up for that. That's us. That's not the Spirit of God. That's what we want to brag on what we do, right? And God says, oh, listen, you've got to deny self to follow me. You've got to deny self. And by the way, listen to what Paul said. I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith, in that state, to be what? To be content. And listen to what Paul said. I have learned.
Yeah.
We have to learn that. It's just not given to us. We have to seek it. Amen? We have to seek it. Some people seek things to learn things that are unbelievable, right? Josiah shows me stuff. Ask him to show you some stuff that he's learning. I mean, it's a bunch of symbols and numbers. He explains it like any everybody should know this. I'm like, man, that's worse than Chinese. Amen. I mean, those are lines and squiggles and symbols and things. I don't understand it. Amen. But the wonderful thing is the things of God, He wants us all to understand.
Amen.
And so the last thought here as we consider this, notice what God wants us to see. He wants us let's look at verse 14 again. Now thanks be unto God. We're going to put it all together. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, always. So listen, as we're looking to the Lord, we will always triumph. As I'm looking, Lord, I want you to show me how to deny myself and yield to you. God says, I'll make sure you triumph in Christ. Lord, here's what we're saying. I need you to do that for me. I want to know, and I need you to bring it to my attention that I might see it coming. Amen? That I might not rise up in myself, but that I might yield to you so that you can work your will. I want to be your servant. Lord, I don't want to think more of myself. I want myself to be crucified, and I want God to be preeminent. Does that make sense? All right, so he says, now thanks be unto God, which always, every time, causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Not a one of us, only God is, right? We can't do these things, but God wants to do those in us. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You know what we're saying genuinely? Lord, do that in me. That's it, genuinely. Show me. He'll take us on that path. If we are willing to present ourselves, remember, Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice. If we are willing to be that sacrifice, you mean, that sounds a little bit like Isaac. He was willing to lay himself down, and Abraham was willing to bring the death to his son with this confidence, God's going to bring him alive again. Because there's the seed that he promised. And if we lay our lives down for the Lord Jesus Christ, will he not raise us up?
Amen.
Wow. Like never before. So God says, trust me. Can we trust the Lord?
Amen.
God says, put your trust or your faith in me and what I've said. You got to lay your life down for me to work with it. And as we do that, God says, I'll show you some amazing things if you'll trust me. So the invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for your truth, your word, and Lord, the revelation that you give to us on how to walk with you. May you open up our hearts and minds to trust you completely, and to present ourselves the living sacrifice that you so rightly deserve, to bless us, Lord. Give us that wisdom and understanding that we are blessed to trust you. Bless the invitation, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.